I'm doing my sermon series, three sermons, on human heart, and today is part two of three. How to take care of your heart. Let me do some recap of the last Sunday's sermon for those folks who missed that sermon, or even you heard it, most of us, you know, forget. I told you that the heart is the innermost seat of emotion, will, thoughts, and appetites. I didn't make a clear distinction between emotion and intellect, or heart and mind, like we are so accustomed to separate, because I'm following what the Bible says. When it comes down to heart, it does not separate them. So it includes everything we do. It is an open bowl where all the thoughts freely come and go. And three parties have access to your heart: yourself, God, and the devil. Our heart is a battleground where God and the devil, his enemy, vie for your worship, your affection, and devotion. I also said that you are the only caretaker of your heart. You are the guardian appointed by God, and your heart is under your care, is a word under your protection. Your job is simple, yet very important: to keep your heart safe and secure. I'm sure every one of us wants to take good care of our hearts. A healthy and strong heart begins with our desire to provide excellent care to our heart. It's very crucial, folks, important for us to remember. Unless you and I don't want to, you know, we don't take good care of our hearts, what happens? No one will. Even God cannot help us on that. You know why? Because God never controls our heart, and he never overrides our free will. If you don't want to take care of it, God says, so be it. Your will be done. And he doesn't do anything about it either. Okay? Now, without our desire, without our invitation, God will not be able to help us much. So what happens if you don't take care of your heart? I would call the heart neglected. The neglected heart eventually becomes confused and unruly. I'm sure you can think of in each individual one or two people whose heart is so messed up. Okay? So eventually what happens if we do not take good care of our heart, we suffer the consequences thereof. Here's an example. Christ says in Mark chapter 7, you know, all the evil things come out of our heart and defile us. All the thoughts of evil and, you know, just unclean thoughts. I'm sure every one of us understands what he's saying. And that's what I said last Sunday. And today, I'm going to continue on part two. How then do we take good care of our heart? Let me begin with the verse printed in your bulletin. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23. It has actually two sentences, and I'm going to expound on each sentence one by one. So first half of today's verse reads as this: watch over your heart with all diligence. I looked up in the original Hebrew language, the translation of the Hebrew language like this: above all guarding, guard your heart. Now there are two words, twice the same words repeated, guard. So I looked further up in the Oxford Dictionary. What's that mean, to guard? I understand generally, but this is what the standard definition of to guard: to protect property, places, or people from attack or danger. You know, old and young, male and female, we all protect something or some people, some property from attack or danger. The question for all of us: what do we guard? What do you guard? Here's some examples: life, health, wealth, house, bank accounts, investment portfolios, family, jobs, image, identity, and so forth. You can add on anything that you guard. Now, one thing is for sure: none of us guard anything that is worthless. Why bother? You know, you don't have to keep those things. However, we guard fiercely something precious and valuable and essential, do we not? So out of all the things worthy of our guarding, which one does God command us to guard the most? The heart. Listen again. Above all guarding, guard your heart. Our heart is the number one priority to protect. Some of us, not many of us think that way though. Oh, we guard something, money in the bank, whatever. But we seldom think that, oh, it's the heart that I need to guard the most. Why the heart though? Reason with me. The second sentence of today's text explains that. It reveals the reason why we must guard our heart above all things. Once again, the English translation reads as this. For from it, meaning heart, flow the springs of life. The literal translation of the same sentence goes like this. For from it come out the sources of life. All things of life stem from where? Your heart. That's why. Now let me elaborate a little more on the word life here. The life here means more than just daily animal-like surviving. You sleep, you wake, and you eat, and you move around, and you go to bed, and you know, repeat the same cycle. That's not the life they're talking about here. The life here means the life that is meaningful. The life is fulfilling, the life of contentment, and the life God intends you and me to enjoy. In fact, Jesus wants us to have that life and have it abundantly. It's the life that consists of earthly felicity, happiness, combined with spiritual blessedness. You know, if you move your timetable 2100 years, one century, 100 years before Christ was born, in those days, the entire world people know, at least in the West, was the Roman Empire, okay, around the Mediterranean Sea. And the universal language at the time was Greek, not Latin. Because Greek was so, you know, dominant culture and, you know, literature, whatever. So all these growing up generations, young generations, growing up educated in Greek. Now, if you are the Hebrew scholar, if you're a rabbi, you need to educate the young minds with the Hebrew scripture, we call the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew language. So what do? Well, let's teach them the Hebrew language. Or the other way to do it is that let's, you know, translate our original Hebrew, you know, scripture into the Greek. So 70 people, scholars and the rabbis together, they got together and said, why don't we translate from the Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the last of the Hebrew book. At the time, they didn't have New Testament. So they translated them all, and they called that translation of the Old Testament the Septuagints. That literally means 70, number 70 scholars, they all together. So they were, you know, just giving the Septuagint Bible all in Greek now to their young generations, let them read. Now, Proverbs 4:23, the Septuagint renders a unique Greek word to life here. There are two Greek words. Just forgive me if it's above your head. So I'll go as slow as I can. There are two words in Greek talking about life. The first one is bios. That's where the English words such as biology, bio, biometrics, you know, biological, everything related to the life, living thing coming from, okay? Bios. The second word is zoe. That's where the English girl's name, lady's name, Zoe, comes from, okay? There are two Greek words. The difference is that whenever you talk about general life form, without any meaning whatsoever, they use the bios, bios. But whenever you talk about more meaningful than just daily survival, they always use the word zoe. And guess what? The Septuagint Bible renders that zoe word to life here. In other words, things that matter most in life originate from your heart. The essential elements of the blessed life also come out of your heart, and whatever comes out of your heart eventually determines your final and eternal destination. That's what the proverb says. So that's how crucial your heart is in your life. So if you want to live a life satisfactory and meaningful, and if you want to live a life with purpose and destination, and if you want to secure your life eternal, where do you turn to? Your heart. And you need to learn to take good care of your heart. Now let me flip the questions this way. If your life somehow not satisfactory, if your life somehow not meaningful, if your life is somehow with no purpose whatsoever and no destination whatsoever, and if you have no security in your life eternal, where do you work? Start with your heart once again. Now, please understand who you are, your identity. When it comes down to heart, you are the watchman. You are the guardian of your heart, and your job is to keep your heart pure and innocent and blameless in the sight of God until Christ comes. So do you understand who you are? Do you understand how important taking care of your heart? Because all the good things coming, bad things as well, come from your heart. So with that understanding, I'm going to introduce you three ways to take a good care of your heart. Okay? Let's not forget here, the entire well-being of your heart and the quality of your life thereafter are determined by your desire. You have to want that. I want to take good care of my heart. That's the beginning. Number two, discipline. You've got to stay disciplined on it. And third, diligence. Okay? So three things I'm going to just recommend to you to continue on. They all begin with S. So on the sermon title next to it, I said, do three S. That's what it means. Three S's. Screen out, store up, and stay on. Screen out. You are on guard duty on your, just so a half, your heart's behalf. On behalf of your heart, you are on guard duty for life. What do you do? What's your job? To prevent the enemy infiltration. I was in the Korean army for almost 3 years, and I don't know if they still do it or not. The army used to pass the daily password, not the password you put in on your computer. Back then, 1980s, you know, they give daily password, and they don't even call you. Today's password, so-and-so. No, because of the security, they never do. You are supposed to go to the headquarters and receive the password and bring it and pass along to your company. That was my job, actually. So I did it every single day. Okay? Now, what do you do? Whoever says the correct password, okay, could pass the guard post. If you cannot say the password, the guard actually could shoot you and kill you. That's how serious the password was. I think same thing goes with our guard duty for our heart. If any thought trying to enter our heart, you must ask the password. Something like this, okay? Are you, speaking to the thought, are you in line with God's will? Are you in sync with God's will or not? If so, enter into my heart. If not, stop right there. Okay? Never allow anything bad to enter your heart, and only good things are in. Okay? And this is what God commands us to do. He says, take every, you know, captive every thought and bring it to Christ. In Corinthians chapter 10, let me read it to you. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You see, that's why we need to learn to screen out thoughts and feelings, especially bad ones. You know, those are negative and destructive ones. We all go through one time or another, right? Some of us, you know, are dealing hard time with the negative thoughts popping up constantly. Now some of us are in the habit of following whatever our heart tells. There's such a thing as follow your heart. There are many songs, follow your heart, they say. Have you experienced, however, whenever you follow, sometimes you're right and sometimes you're in terrible problems, trouble. Beware, because the same heart can deceive us. Listen to Jeremiah 17:9. God says to Jeremiah, the heart, human heart, is deceitful above all things. There are so many things that are deceitful, but God says, let me tell you, your heart is the most deceitful one above all. And God says, who can understand it? Really, I agree. I'd rather let God's word guide me, not my own feelings. Here's some examples. What would you say if I say, I will never forgive so-and-so? Forgive my brother, for example. What would you say? Because I'm following my feelings. I have no feelings whatsoever. In fact, I hate him so much that I will never forgive. That's following the feelings in my heart. However, if I remember the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as, you know, our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Okay? This God's word must guide me in that direction. You know, I still remember, I've done weddings for scores of times. And I remember the first wedding I ever did officiate at. And the couple were divorced in less than a year. It broke my heart. You always remember the first thing that you ever did. But then their marriage didn't last even a year. I felt it was my fault, whatever I have said, whatever I have not. But you know what? The reason I heard later on, the couple just lost their feelings. They say, I'm not in love with you anymore. Therefore, just split. Because they were following their hearts. But you know, in those days, God's words must say, marriage is a covenant relationship, it's a commitment, and let no one separate what God has joined. Here's a third example. Depressive / suicidal thoughts. You know, whenever you go through that moment, we all go through once in a while, check out the source of every destructive thought. Because I said, Satan can prompt such a thought in your heart. I told you last time, he could throw in any negative and destructive thought into your heart. Do not take such a thought as yours. Okay? You've got to be very careful. Scripture says, give no opportunity to the devil. So what do? Bring every thought and feeling under the control of Christ. Okay? It requires some discipline. Okay? Practice. Filter it and test it against God's word. And here's one thing that you could do. I read somewhere, American people watch TV average 3 hours every day. It seems to me a little too much, but obviously there are folks that watch more than 3 hours and folks like me don't watch at all. But anyway, let's say, 2 hours of TV watching every day. Now, just put your thinking hat, okay? All the thoughts, the images come through your eyes, and all the sounds that you hear come through your ears, are they all good to you? Some of us know, Pastor Choi. Some of them like to promoting all the buy more, buy more, buy more, eat more, eat more, eat more. We all know that. But when you watch those things, you don't think that way. You just simply take it in, take it in, take it in. The problem is that it's like open bowl I told the kids. They go in there and stay in there, folks. Okay? So we need to put guards on our eye gate and ear gate. So next time you watch your movie, anything, TV, put the guards on eye gate and ear gate. Again, do you remember? No. But sometimes you will consciously make the decision that, I'm going to put guards. Okay? And if you continue doing it and stay disciplined, and then what happens? Payoff will be huge. Let me guarantee. I can guarantee that one. Place guards on your eye gate and ear gate. Now let me move on. The first thing was I said, just screen out those negative thoughts. Second way to do it is store up. There are so many good things that we can store up in our hearts. Good memories and good music, good stories and good images and good thoughts and so forth. Now, first and foremost, let's begin with God's word, the good book. Why is it good book? Because the Bible is the word of life. Do you look for some good life, meaningful life? Oh, well, you have a place to go, the Bible. It gives you peace and courage, and it restores your physical health, the Bible says. It is also essential for our eternal life, too. Let me ask this question. Do you love God? And then you will love and cherish God's word. It would be an oxymoron if you say, I love God, but I never open the Bible. It would be equally contradictory if you say, I care for my soul, yet I never read the Bible. Why it's contradictory? Because God's word is the food for your soul, and if you don't feed your soul with God's word, and your soul will starve to death. You don't have to tell me. I know exactly what's happening spiritually. Now, never believe in devil's lie that the Bible is too difficult for you to understand. That's why you don't open the Bible. You know, a lot of Catholics believe that way. But you know what? You gotta understand devil's scheme. He has only one goal: to destroy and steal and kill your soul and take it with him down to hell. That's what it is. And so he would do everything and anything to keep you from getting into God's word for your salvation. Let me repeat. You need God's word for eternal life. You need God's word to protect your heart. Listen to the psalmist who wrote this thing 3,000 years ago in Psalm 119. How can a young man, young person, and you and me too, keep his way pure? By keeping it according to what? Your word. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. None of us wants to sin against God. It's the best way to keep, you know, from doing it is that treasure God's word in our heart. That's what I'm talking about. Store up God's word in your heart. The third thing I'm going to say very briefly is that stay on good and godly thoughts. Paul the Apostle says in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Did you know whatever comes into your heart, once it goes in there, it stays there, it's extremely difficult to pull it out, to remove it. That's why I think best thing is that guard on in the first place, daily, as a positive reinforcement. And then we put the good things in and we dwell on such things all the time. You know, chew on them and sit on them and meditate on them daily. Let me just tell you very briefly what happened to me. You know, we all go through the self-esteem issue, right? Crisis. Many of us struggle with that self, you know, just esteem. I'm not that good, and I don't look good, and all these things. Although I graduated from one of the top colleges in Korea, you know, I still had some dose of that low self-esteem. We all go through it. I'm short, you know, I'm Asian, I'm wearing glasses. I mean, you could go on and on, right? Now, one time I was reading the Mark chapter 1, and I was reading the Jesus story. Story of Jesus baptized. And as he was coming out of the water, and there was a voice coming down from the heaven, and God says, "You are my beloved son. I am well pleased with you." When I was reading it, you know, I read scores of times the same text so many times. When I was reading that, I felt like God was speaking to me, "Geun Choi, you are my beloved son. I am well pleased with you." That changed my perspective on me in terms of self-esteem. I changed it entirely. I said, "Lord, if you love me that much, that's all I need. I don't care what people, other people say about me." And guess what? From then on, standing in front of the mirror, I look at myself, okay? I just go like this. "Geun Choi, you're so good. I love you." Why? Because I'm different? No, I'm the same, 5'4", okay? But you know what? Because God says, "I love you, never forget." I said, "Lord, that's good enough. You love me, and I'm child of God," and that did it. That's what I'm talking about. And what happens? I dwell on it. Stay on it. Because God says so, I'm good. Not that I'm wonderful personally, but because God says, "Never forget, I love you. You're my son." That's good enough, folks. That's what I'm talking about. Dwell on the good, godly words. Okay, word of God. Let me just close my sermon. Today's scripture says, above all things, that we guard. Guard your heart. Screen out all bad thoughts and store up God's word diligently. Remember what I said? Desire and discipline and diligence. You gotta do it. Make an effort to it. Don't say that, "Oh, you know, I tried to read the Bible, but before I know it, it's just week past." Okay, one man after the first service came to me and said, "Pastor Choi, I started reading the Bible." And he showed me his own phone. Okay? Nowadays you can use your phone. And fill up your heart with whatever is honorable and noble. And finally, stay on them daily. Make an intentional effort. And then, let me guarantee that you will enjoy the life abundantly in Christ. You are the caretaker of your heart. Let's bow as in prayer. Up until this time, Lord, we neglected our heart to the point where we just follow our heart rather than, hey, come on, heart, come back here. We just let our heart lead us. It's time that we take over. We took over the guardianship and say, heart, I'm going to guide you and protect you and guard you from any danger or harm. Help us, Lord, to take that guardianship seriously. And we look forward to the day when we say, I follow God's directions and my heart, my life is much better. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.